From WPEngine.com, you're watching Finely Tuned Consultant, a series of interviews with some of the brightest talents in tech, marketing, and WordPress. I'm Jonathan McNamara, and with me, as always, is my co-host Emma Zwerko. Hey, Emma.
Hey. What's up?
Not much. Not much. We're doing a show. That's what's up.
We are?
Yeah.
Who was supposed to tell me about that?
Oh, my bad. God, I'm not on the ball today. Well, today, in addition to talking to each other, we're talking with Minneapolis-based visual communications designer Michelle Schulp. Michelle runs MarkTime Media, where she designs infographics, websites, and presentations. She's also contributed to the Three Themes Project, and she spends a ton of time attending WordPress meetups and WordCamps. Point in fact, Michelle is speaking at WordCamp Miami later this week. Michelle, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, good to be here.
So we're very eager to hear about your WordCamp Miami panel, but before we get that started, let's talk about your background. So how did you become a visual communications designer, and how does one become one?
So I think I'm one of those magical tiny percentage of people that actually went to school for the thing that they're doing for a living, which is weird. I've
never heard of that, actually.
I know. I'm sorry. I just ruined a bunch of
things. I don't know what this is.
I've always done art, but I was also really good at like math and science and problem solving. And so when I learned that there was this career that let you do like all those things but together, I was like, oh, that's great. And so I did that.
Right. How does it combine those things though? I mean, I get the design aspect, but where does the math and science come in?
Well, nowadays I do some front end development, specifically WordPress front end development. Though I'm starting to learn JavaScript and a bunch of other stuff. But really, the science and math aspect comes in with the problem solving. You really have to know how to step through things linearly, be able to troubleshoot things, be able to, you know, and I think the scientific method's pretty useful for that. So even art people should learn some science.
Right, right. So, we're sort of a WordPress-focused show, so I've got to ask, how did you cut your teeth on WordPress? And how have your WordPress skills been developing since?
The WordPress stuff is kind of interesting. I heard about it in college. Some of my friends were using it and like custom styling blogs, and I'm like, man, I wish I was cool enough to style a WordPress blog. And then afterward, I remembered people saying like WordPress is easy for designers to learn. So I'm like, all right, let's try this. And it was really confusing and scary and awful. And then I happened to be browsing the internet and was like, I wonder if there's any conferences I could go to. And I found WordCamp Chicago 2011, and that was my first WordCamp. I didn't know a single person. I didn't talk to anyone. I learned a lot. It was amazing. And at that point, I decided I was going to find a way to get on the volunteer team for the next year. And it was all kind of crazy from there. Like, I started hearing about meetups. I made friends. People helped me with stuff. I got integrated in the community. My friend Aaron Holbrook, I credit him for me getting involved. He pushed me to start speaking, so now I speak at stuff, and it's been great. So, literally transformative for my entire career.
So you've been learning the more technical aspects of WordPress while also sort of diving headfirst into the social components of it.
Yes, yes. I mean, when you hang around with developers all the time, you're probably going to end up learning a lot of development stuff, so that's what happened to me.
Emma, do you know what that's like? Because I have no idea what that's like. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about MarkTime Media for a second. What's going on with that project?
Sure, so that is the name of my business, which is just me, and this is my sixth year being independent full-time, and it is better every year. I mean, as being independent is the best and worst thing possible, and it is both of those things. But I'm really happy, and I've got a lot of clients all over the country doing a lot of just a huge variety of different stuff, and it's really cool.
Right on. So one of the things I noticed checking out your site is that you say you're a visual communications designer, and I think that doesn't quite express the numerous things that you do, right? I mean, obviously there are websites, there's WordPress stuff, there's also apparel, there's also packaging. Can you explain how you got into those like various types of design?
Yeah. Well, my degree was in kind of design in general. I actually didn't learn a lot of web design in school. Our web design program in school is actually kind of terrible. And I speak a little bit about that in some of the other talks I've given, some of the bad things that they try to teach you about web design in design school. I actually wanted to be a package designer. So I had an internship at a package design firm where I got to actually create products that were on sale. And it took me a long time to specialize. It took me a few years to specialize. So in the meantime, I tried my hand at a lot of things. I did some clothing uniform designs. I did logos. I did branding. I did all kinds of stuff. And all of those things have, you know, they've taught me a lot, even if it's just teaching me that I don't want to do that all the time.
Can you give me an example of a specific design project that maybe is not your favorite?
Well, I like them all, but I've moved away from print design, not because it's not awesome, because it is. I like the feel of a good, you know, embossed paper as much as the next designer, all right?
Here.
Right? But you can't specialize in everything, and there's so many nuances to print design that if I was to keep up with all those, I wouldn't be able to keep up with all the stuff I'm learning in web design. So I've been offered other print projects, and I kind of turn a lot of them down nowadays because there are people more qualified than me that spend all day doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And one of the things I was wondering about is how does your approach to projects change when you're going from things as radically different as like a package design versus, you know, a website front end?
The overall concept isn't that different. I mean, really, if you have an understanding of the constraints of the project, then what you're trying to do is kind of the same for everything. You know, what is the goal of this? What are we trying to get people to do? What, you know, what are the constraints in terms of materials, budget, functionality, whatever? And that kind of applies to almost any design. I mean, speccing out a design, the big picture is kind of the same for everything. It's in the details that it gets different. So obviously, if I'm speccing out, say, an infographic versus a website versus a presentation, which are the three things I kind of spend most of my time doing now, big picture stuff, really similar. You know, what are the project's goals? Who is the audience? What are we doing this for? What do we have to account for? Little, you know, then the details, like obviously if it's a website, you know, I have to start talking about website pages and call to actions and blah, blah, blah. Presentations, I have to be right. Like, okay, you know. So it's a bit different, but it's kind of all the same.
So you covered this a little bit, but what design projects have been the most challenging and would have been the most rewarding?
Honestly, almost all of the projects I've been taking on in the last year and a half have been challenging because I've been saying yes to projects where I know how to do about 80% of it.
Nice.
And that remaining 20% I know is within my capability of learning. Like, I'm not saying I'm going to build a custom app on a language I've never used before or anything, but it's something like, oh, well, I've seen this done, but I haven't done it. I'll learn how to do it. And so those have been very I learned SAS through doing a client project. I've been learning JavaScript through doing client projects. I didn't wait till I knew it. I knew enough of it that I could get started and know where to look and ask for help, but so that's a challenge because when you spec it out, you know, there is the possibility that there's going to be extra time involved for me learning that maybe I might end up going over hours because of my own education. So that's a challenge, but it's so rewarding because then I wind up with new skills after the project's over.
Neat. So let's move on to the Three Themes podcast a little bit. Can you give us a rundown and how you got started with it and what was the initial intention behind it?
Yeah, so that the Three Themes project was a collaboration between myself and Kiko and Josh Broughton. Josh Broughton is a fantastic front-end developer in Sioux Falls, and Kiko is a awesome developer and consultant who, out of everywhere, he's in New Jersey now. He used to be kind of splitting his time between Minneapolis and Jersey, but I met both of them through the community, and we just started talking about the possibility of building a framework that was very designer and developer friendly and easy to use. So the interesting thing about the Three Themes project, I think, was that, you know, we all kind of learned how best to work together with the other people in other fields. So, like, we all had very different backgrounds, and we all kind of tried to play to our strengths. And we decided to video podcast our meetings because we wanted, you know, we didn't know where the project was going to go. And we figured it was kind of an interesting thing to watch people making decisions and trying to build something together. So we wanted to kind of archive that.
Can you talk a bit about the projects that you've generated?
Yeah, so though we're not working together anymore, what did come out of it, Josh put together a really awesome kind of lightweight SAS mixin library called Sasquatch, so hence that's why it's called Sasquatch. And Spring Theme itself was based off of the same kind of architecture that the Roots theme was built off of. I think they're now called Sage, the Roots framework, that kind of tried to make WordPress templating a little bit more object-oriented, a little less repeating yourself, and so that was kind of cool. But we've stopped kind of working on this, but we all still use components of this for our own personal projects. I'm using it on a client site right now. It's a really useful framework for me.
You know what? Let's talk about WordCamp Miami, because I know it's coming up.
Yeah.
And I have to say the title of your panel is something I think a lot of us can relate to. Where did the idea come for how to speak unicorn, improving designer-developer collaboration?
Sure. Well, so first of all, the background as to why I'm doing this talk and any of these talks in general kind of goes back to, you know, why I call myself a visual communications designer instead of like a graphic designer or whatever. Oh, hey, that's my face. I'm all big now. So I think communication is kind of the most crucial part of this entire process. And it's not just communication of the end product to the user, but communication between the different people on the team.
Right.
And in my career back when I was full-time and having worked with other teams and having worked by myself and having just stories told to me by people, there's a lot of disconnect between designers, developers, project managers, writers. Like, everybody is in their own silo, and we've all got this great knowledge, but we all don't know how to talk to each other. So all of my talks that I give are to try to help people bridge that gap and communicate. So this talk specifically, the unicorn's a concept that has been kind of batted around in the tech community. In this case, referring to somebody who knows design and development and can do everything all at once. That they're the unicorn because they're a mythological creature that may or may not exist, and they're magical and everyone wants one, right?
And they can walk between worlds.
Right, pretty much.
Right.
So I titled the talk, How to Speak Unicorn, most importantly so that I could use an excessive amount of My Little Pony graphics in it, but I also think it's kind of a clever title. Teaching people how to communicate is speaking unicorn, because you can speak across the aisle to the other side.
Well, while we're on the subject of sort of, you know, bridging a gap through magical abilities and skills, what are the magic words, so to speak, that developers can use to communicate effectively with designers? Or are there any? Are there terms that should be known?
So the most magical word that anyone can use, like whether it's a designer or a developer, is the word why. And not the word why in a condescending way, like why would you even do that, but like, please tell me the motivation behind the decision that you made. If we ask why instead of automatically saying no or making assumptions, for example, a developer. If a developer, you know, sees a design and they're like, what is even, I can't do that, or like, this is stupid, why would we do it this way? This is going to be, you know, way more time, way more money, way more complicated than it needs to be. Instead of just being like, no, we can't do this, you go, okay, designer, tell me why you made this decision. Like, why are we doing this? And if the designer is good, if they're not just being arbitrary, like if they're good, they'll be like, oh, well, I thought that doing it this way would solve this problem. So now we're not talking about arbitrary aesthetic decisions, we're talking about problem solving.
Right.
And the developer can then come back and be like, okay, so I see that this is trying to do this. To solve that same problem, have you thought about this? Suddenly we're collaborating instead of fighting.
Right? That sounds a lot better. So can you tell us about a specific time? I'm looking for an interesting designer-developer anecdote here, about a time where you were able to improve a collaboration.
Yeah. So actually, this goes back to, I had a job for about a year and a half out of college at a small multimedia firm in Chicago. And probably the most important thing that they did, which they did accidentally, but it was the most important thing, is they put me and the web developer in the same room. So we became friends. And I was always like, look, I don't want to do anything that, you know, makes you mad at me or hate me. So, like, tell me what I need to know. The thing that bothered me was that when we had meetings with the client, they'd bring me into the meetings, but they wouldn't ever bring the web developer. And so me right. and the project manager and maybe one of the partners and the client, we'd be sitting there trying to scope this project and spec things, and the developer never had a say. Like, they weren't there. And so I was like, well, then I really should probably be an advocate for the developer because they're the one that has to build this thing that I'm designing. And so I started learning what kind of questions the developer would want to ask and try to get those answers. And so that was probably, I wish that we would have started bringing the developer into these meetings, but that was at least one of the more formative parts of my early career.
Are there any tips? I mean, I know your WordCamp panel is coming up, so I don't want to give too much away because I want people to show up for your panel, but are there any additional tips you can give us that you might be sharing at this panel?
Trying to think of something good. Although, obviously, it will be up on WordPress TV afterwards. And if you were awesome enough to have seen one of WP Sessions, I actually gave a version of this talk at WP Sessions. So you should, that's a plug for WP Sessions. You should check them out. They're pretty
Woo-hoo!
Awesome. Right. I think that the tip I could give is, like, you do, whether you're a designer or a developer, want to learn enough about the other person's craft to be able to communicate with them. So if it's a developer, like, you probably should know, maybe you couldn't, like, pick out a font scheme and a color scheme and whatever, but you should know why typography is important, why color is important, why things align the way they do, blah, blah, blah. Like, be able to kind of see that. If you're a designer, you should understand, like, hey, here's kind of how, you know, HTML kind of works, here's how CSS kind of works, if it's for WordPress, like, kind of here's how WordPress likes to template things, maybe that'll help influence how you make your decisions. Just understand kind of the world that you're building in. I think that's the most important thing, even if you never actually become a unicorn.
Nice. Aside from your own panel, what are you most looking forward to at WordCamp Miami?
So WordCamp Miami is one of the big WordCamps, and so a lot of people that I've met over the years are going to be there, and so I'm really excited to be able to reconnect with a lot of my WordPress friends. To be honest, I haven't actually looked too much at who is presenting or when or whatever, so I'm looking forward to kind of seeing what's going to... I know it's going to be great because they put on a great camp. On Friday, though, I'm actually giving another talk in their front-end and theme development workshop, which is the first time they're putting this workshop together, and I'm going to be talking about the pre-design process, you know, what you want to do, like how to spec things out, and I'm really excited to see the rest of the stuff in this workshop, and since it's the first time, like, there's a need for kind of this process of how to start building themes in a more detailed sense, so I'm really excited to see how this workshop turns out.
Cool.
Awesome. And on that note, we've reached the end of this edition of Finely Tuned Consultant. Michelle, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Yeah, it was a great time.
For more on Michelle, you can visit mynameismichelle.com with two L's, so don't use a weird spelling. And you can follow her on Twitter at MarkTimeMedia. It's below her name right now. Or you can head on over to WPEngine.com tomorrow and check out the blog. We're going to publish links to Michelle's various projects and a YouTube video of this hangout, so you can watch this whenever it's convenient for you. And thanks for watching. Stay tuned for another Q&A with another developer next time on Finely Tuned Consultant.